born again. That's the subject that we hear discussed a great deal. And as in all of Christ's teachings, many times it goes much, there's a much deeper meaning. And I want to teach you a Greek word today. Now, you all know what anison is, all right? Or maybe you do, I don't know, I sure do. But it's almost like anison, only with replace the C with a T and say anathen. A-N-A-T-H-E-N, anathen. And that's what the word again is used, that is used in John 3, where Christ instructed that you should be born again. It's very difficult for one to understand the Word of God if you don't realize this earth is thousands of years old, millions of years old. And thanks God for those scientists and workers in the languages and so forth that have documented this, because God's Word states that this earth is much older than many might think. You know, I was researching as to how many realized that some were chosen before the foundations of the earth, and that just really doesn't fit with your common church teachings, all right? And by common, you know what I mean, what we all grew up with, all right? And we have to remove the blinders and really get into the Father's Word to understand His overall plan before we can really begin to understand Him. Now, number one, we're made in His image. You remember the question we had from that. We're going to go into more detail on that. In other words, He looks a lot like we do. And He cries. He laughs. He gets jealous. And He gets angry. His wrath builds. And He doesn't mess around when He gets angry. So He's much like we are, only He is supernatural and He is our Father. And God created all things for His pleasure. Revelation chapter 4, the last verse, documents that. And we are to be a pleasure to Him. And certainly you that love Him, that study His Word, you are. And that's why you're blessed. That's why He reaches down and touches you. And the more you share with others, the more He gives you. The more information, the more knowledge, the more understanding. So, let's take this phrase. Remember the Greek word anathen. Well, let me tell you the definition of it. It means to be not born again, but born from above. Right? Born from above. It can be translated born from the beginning, even. It can, there's no... Your Strong's Concordance will do the same thing. Born from the beginning. When? Peter describes the three world ages, and he certainly wasn't talking about the flood of Noah. It was the kibbeh, the overthrow, when Satan rebelled. There were a group of angelic beings that are recorded in Genesis 6 that left their habitation, that is documented also in the first six chapters of Jude. And this caused them to be cursed. They saw women. They liked them. They took them to wife. And they were able to impregnate them. And Geber, or what we call giants, were born from that exchange. So we know that they came from above. And Jude states they were sentenced to death, locked in chains, whereby they can never be released. Why? Because they left their first habitation. They did not choose to come through this earth by birth, but by attack, contrary to God's plan to destroy woman, that is to say the seed of woman, whereby Christ could not be born, by polluting, so on and so forth. So we must broaden our minds to understand this. Now, let's, with that thought, let's take John 3 and let's look at it in a little different perspective, if we may. Chapter 3 in the book of St. John. I'm going to pick it up with verse 3, where Christ is teaching Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus was quite a scholar. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. And you had to be quite a scholar in the Old Testament. You didn't make that grade, all right, supposedly. Verse 3 in St. John reads, of chapter 3 rather, verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, there is your word anathen in the Greek. It's not the common word that is used in the New Testament for again. And I would advise you to check it out yourself in your Greek concordance. This is not the normal word that is used for again. It doesn't even mean again. It means from above. So let's read it that way for a moment. A man must be born from above. If he isn't, he cannot see the kingdom of God, period. When God has a plan, a perfect plan, and birth is part of that plan, you must experience that birth or you're out of God's plan. You can't do as those fallen angels did and enter the kingdom of heaven. Why? Read the book of Jude. They're in chains. No choice but to be destroyed. Verse 4, Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Verse 5, Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. What does this mean to be born of water? Most people think it means baptism. But no, the bag of water. The bag of water from the mother. There's nothing wrong with teaching salvation and to say that one is born again when they receive Christ as their Savior. I have no problem with that. But let's at the same time not lose the deeper meaning which Christ is bringing forth. I think every Christian, if they are asked, where did your soul come from? Where did your spirit come from? Everyone will say, well, it came from God. Where is God? Above. So you shouldn't really have any problem with that. Your spiritual body was with Him. And when the conception took place, then you were born of the bag of water. And you were according to God's natural plan, not the perverse way that the fallen angels entered this earth age. All right? Now, verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You know from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that you have two bodies. Paul made that very clear. You have a flesh body, and you have a spiritual body. And the moment you pass away, your spiritual body steps out of this flesh body and immediately returns to the Father. As it is written, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. That's what Christ is saying here. Verse 7, Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Again, anathen, from above. Don't marvel that I said you must be born from above. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit, when you accept Christ and that Spirit comes upon you, you can't see it. You can't see the Spirit. You can see in the mirror of the eye and the smile on the face and the goodness of the person, its presence. But you cannot see into that dimension. That is the dimension in which you do not have the ability when you're in the flesh to observe, unless God should, for some reason, decide you need to see this. Example, said, Lord, open his eyes so that he can see the army that's over us. It was Elisha. Elisha went up on the mountain, and he said, hey, let's just go up there and get him. And this old armor bearer says, just us? Just us? You know? And Elisha prayed, and they opened up that dimension where he could see that whole army that was right over his head. I mean, just look. Right there, friends. But there they were. So we cannot see that dimension. But your Father is a lot closer to than you might think when you need Him. And that's what makes the difference in a true believer and one that isn't, or one that's not founded in the Word of God, okay? And so we go to verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "How can these things be? I don't understand. I just don't understand this at all." Verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Art thou a master of Israel?" Do you know what that means? Are you one of the chiefs down there in the Sanhedrin that's teaching everyone? And knowest not these things? Is it any wonder that people could never learn? Their teacher was not teaching them. All right? 11. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. It would seem you don't quite understand this, Nicodemus, and he makes it clear. Listen to it. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? You see the earthly things. If I tell you of heavenly things that you cannot see into that dimension, there's no way. How can you believe that? As a master in Israel, a student in the Sanhedrin, if you can't hardly get that going in your direction, how are you going to do the rest of it, all right? And verse 12. If I have told you... No, we did that, didn't we? Right, 13. And no man... Listen carefully, beloved. And no man... Are we talking about Christ? No. No man. This covers all men. No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Even Christ Himself came down from heaven the same as you did. You've been there. You don't remember it because born innocent of a babe, that is removed from your mind. But you have been with Him. And in my own opinion, for a long, long time, down through the ages, as it is written, the sons of God, before they were sent to this earth. Bear in mind, I know you've heard me say this 1,000 times, there's one thing God will not do. He will not force you or anyone else to love Him. Why? You can't. If you force someone to love you, that's not love. You either bought it, or you forced it, begged it, or something. Genuine love can only generate from within an individual to be true love, and that's what God wants from you, all right? So when Satan drew a third of the children off, as it is written in Revelation chapter 12, God could have killed those children and started the world over, but He chose rather to destroy that first earth age. As it is written in 2 Peter chapter 3, when Peter said, don't be ignorant of this, there are three world ages. That first age goes unrecorded in most Christians' minds. That's one reason I enjoy doing documentaries so much, because it documents many times that this earth is much older than some might think. So Christ made it simple enough that any child can understand. No man, and there's no gender in this, this is men, women, no human being has ever gone back up to heaven that did not come down from there. Well, what about the fallen angels? Yeah, same thing. They came down from heaven in vehicles, no doubt, as it's written in Ezekiel. And God took them back. But I guarantee you, just because they came from there and went back, they got a place they're going besides that, and that's written also in the book of Jude. All right. So that is just a flat rule in God's plan, and the Son is the one that's telling you that here. The Son of the living God, He says, even Myself, this is the occasion. This is the law concerning that. Okay. Now, well, what can we say then? What was it like? Are we ever shown an example of just maybe what went on there in that age? And the answer is yes. in many places if you understand. Don't turn to these scriptures I'm about to give you. You can write them down if you like, but I'm taking you another place. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 18 stipulates God created this earth to be inhabited. In other words, long, long ago, it was a wonderful earth, and it was created to be inhabited. God is not in the business of creating messes. Man always does that, all right? Satan always does that. And then God destroyed that first earth age. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 18 declares that. Jeremiah chapter 4 stipulates, God's telling them, hey, you better get your act together. And it picks it up in about verse 18. If you don't think I will destroy you, you better look back at the time before when I destroyed this earth and I did not leave one single man, not one bird. Wasn't talking about Noah's flood. He was talking about the actual change of that first cosmos, which is to say earth age. And therefore, that's why when you go out in a bank and you look and you say, well, here's a shell in a bank here, and this date back millions of years. And you find the shell today, and it looks like the same shell. Still God's creation, all right? That went through that. He did not change that. He only changed man. And you know what? He didn't change man except from the spirit body to a flesh body. That was all. And we'll document that in a little bit. He gave man an innocent start. It's up to you, friend. You make up, you plan your life. You make your choices. You're going to serve God or you're going to serve Satan. You're going to seek God's blessings or you're going to get a cursing. It's up to you. You can't blame anyone else. It's your business. But your father wishes better. Well, Job at one time, and we're going to turn to this book, Job chapter 38. Old Job had been listening to these three characters that didn't know from come sick'em, all right? And a lot of people will turn to those first books of Job and say, this man said this in his Bible. Well, if you go to the 38th verse, you find out God said, they're a bunch of fools and you're listening to them. So let's turn to that 38th chapter of Job and let's just see if we can visualize a little bit how it was in that first earth age, because God gives us a little peek at it. Job chapter 38. I'm going to just begin reading with verse 1. And remember, Job's three friends want to help him out. The only thing is they want to help him all the way out. Poor old Job, you know, Satan has put sores on him. Everything has gone wrong. He's lost all of his money. And I guess he lost his wife because she told him, Job, just curse God and die, you sucker. Okay, she was through with him, you know, and rightfully so. He was having a hard time. And these three clowns, Job, don't try to tell us you haven't sinned because God wouldn't allow this to happen to you. Now come on and confess, boy. Tell us what you've done wrong. And on and yakety, yakety, yak. That's what Job is all about, is getting you to read 37 chapters of yakety, yakety, yak. To teach you a lesson, don't listen to men. Check it out for yourself. All right? Now, this is when God begins to speak. 38 verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, you know what a whirlwind is, don't you? All right. Verse 2. Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? That's what's telling Job what it said. You know what I think about your three friends? That they try to pretend they're counseling and they've got no knowledge, they're darkening everything. That's kind of like one of these persons. Now, I'm not knocking salvation, please understand, but someone that would come up and say, have you been born again? And that, you know, meaning to accept Christ. Well, it's beautiful to accept Christ, and salvation is such a wonderful thing. But there's a lot more to it than that. Or your Christianity is going to be so shallow that the first time Satan hits you like he did Job, you're going to wither, shake, and be weak. All right? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answerest thou me. In other words, old Job's down here on the ground, You know what to gird up meant? They wore skirts. Men wore skirts, and you reached through and got the back part, and you pulled that up and put it under your belt where your legs were free, and you could run, fight, challenge. You were ready for action. Got to get up off the ground and start acting like a man. That's what he expects of you, to act like soldiers, children of God, not a poor me baby, all right? But to be somebody, a child of a living God. Get up from there. Where, and then he asked old Job, now these are soul-searching questions, you listen to them closely. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare it, if thou hast understanding. Did those three tell you, Job? Who hast laid the measure thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? I've got a sermon that's going to be following this. I don't have time for it this weekend. It'll probably be done the first weekend back at Gravett. But it's going to be titled, Why Kickest Thou Against the Pricks? I was going to give it here. Do you know what that line is? It's a compass. And do you know what the prick is? It's the sharp point of a compass where you draw a perfect circle. When you kick it, what happens to the circle? All right? Just wait for that one, but there is so much more to this. We're going to open that veil and take a little closer look. Right. Well, I'll ask you the same question. Where were you when God created the foundation? He created that first, you know, before he created the sons of God, but it wasn't long after that. He got lonesome. Again, he created everything for his pleasure. He wanted company. 6. Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? How does this old earth stand where it is, Job? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? How do you lay the cornerstone of a globe? Go ahead and tell me. When the morning stars, now this is the children of God, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Do you know what? At that time there wasn't an unhappy soul. Everything was so wonderful when God first created this earth and those sons of God. You know, it's always referred to as the sons of God because there was not female at that time. All you females at that time had the same form as the males, and I guess they were about the same. All right? It was in this earth age that he created the woman, and he took the strongest, toughest angels and put them in woman's bodies. Because they have to take a lot more than men do. Men just chicken out, you know, on a lot of things. Anyway, be that as it may, please, if you're new to my teaching, don't let me frighten you, all right? Just hang tight and put it on a shelf and it'll be all right, okay? But here we do see God speaking of something that was before. Here were all these children happy. And do you know that God created you to be happy? He wants you to be happy right now. He wants you to be an overcomer. He wants you to stop listening to people that say nothing and darken counsels and have no knowledge. You have the knowledge, the greatest knowledge in the world. You hold it in your hand. It's the Word of God. It will never lead you wrong. We might not understand it sometime and take something wrong, but God's Word, if it doesn't jibe with you, you better get to work and get a little deeper because it doesn't contradict itself. Never. All right? So then we have that. We have God talking about this time. It must have been beautiful. It must have been wonderful. There all the souls were. Well, what did God do with those souls? Did he kill them? What kind of God do we have? We have a God of love. He didn't kill them. He rather breathed into man. And man became a living soul, this made from clay. Do you know what your bodies are made from? You plant a garden. Now you can take iron that some people call iron and you take it and boom, boy, I mean it just hits right to the bottom. That's mineral that's not organic. But you plant, what's something that has a lot of iron in it? Eggplant? Or what? Anyway, we plant a big one, see. And the plant just sucks that iron in there, and whips it up in that little plant that God has created, and it takes that iron and it takes the plump out of it. So you know what I mean by that, don't you? All right. Have you ever taken mineral? I mean, that's just the way it feels to me, you know. But you take organic iron, and hey, it'll put zip in your tank if you're low, you know, on iron, that is. It's done through organic matter, though. Why? It's in the clay. Your little old body ticks on the clay. It just needs the metabolism that God gave it, that gives it life and makes it feel good. And that's what you are. But what's inside you? And there's not a one of you in this room that at one time... But what's inside you? And there's not a one of you in this room that at one time, in meditating, haven't felt like, I really feel there's a great deal more to my Father's Word, because sometimes I get these sketches in my mind, you know, that I don't understand all there is about this world or what's making it tick, but I know God loves us and there must be some real good things for us. So, and there is, really. If you love the Lord, if you get out there and plant those plants, or if you can't do that, I know some of you people live in cities where all you got is concrete and that doesn't grow good tomatoes, all right? Drive a little further out to a country market and buy fresh vegetables. Occasionally, if nothing else, just so you'll remember what they taste like. Right? But that's what these bodies are made out of. But there's more to it than that. It is written in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 that when this flesh body dies, it goes in the ground. It goes back to dust. It can't learn anything. It can't know anything. Do you know why? You're through with it. The spiritual body, as it is written in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. You're gone. And if you really have loved someone and you've lost them to death, when you view that body, you know they're gone. You know it's not them. That their beautiful character and spirit is not there. It's gone. And they stepped into a beautiful body. In Paul's teachings, this body that never ages, never withers, never grows old, never dies. It's that spiritual body. Well, are you ready now for a peek, maybe just a little deeper into this? Well, always to do that, we go back to the beginning. Open your Bibles back to the book of Genesis. There was a lady asked this question. Now I feel like the Lord gave this to be taught, and the question was asked about how God made the people. We're going to go back about chapter 2. And let's pick it up with verse 26. Don't you just like to listen to the Word? Now what I want you to do, before we read it now, just stop. Just stop for a moment. Don't read it yet. Don't read verse 26 yet. I want you to take everything that you've ever had put in your mind about the creation, and I want you to set it over here for me for a minute. And I want you to listen to the words. They're pretty accurate from the Hebrew translation, all right? Listen to what it says, not what you've heard some man say, all right? Now, let's read the Word of God. Verse 26. And God said, who's speaking? God is. Let us make man in our image. In God's image? No. In our image. After our likeness. Well, what's that? I bet I can go up in the nursery and I can pull those little kindergartners out and say, what does it mean to make something in its likeness? And I bet they can tell you. Likeness. And I bet they can tell you. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. God created man in his own image. Notice that word own is italicized. It's been placed there by man, all right? In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now, who was with God when he said that? Elohim. God and the angels. He said, let's make flesh bodies and let's make them in our likeness. Do you want me to tell you what you look like? Do you want me to tell you what you look like there and trim it all back to a spiritual body in appearance with youth? For we were. Do you know why people will recognize each other in the angelic body? Would God change? No, in your likeness. Right? That's what it says. When you set all this stuff out of your head and put it over here, God said, let's make man down there, and let's create it, and let's make it in our image. Well, wait a minute. What about God? He did the same thing. Do you know who that was? He made Jesus Christ in his own likeness. That's why he is called the Son of God. But then who do you look like? Elohim. The same way you looked there. Is that not what it says? Of course it does. Now, let's take that old garbage and put it out of our minds. And let's, that, you know, some have put in there, or maybe we just didn't quite grow that much and nothing wrong with it. I have never seen a person, except those that might have been injured in birth or injured in life themselves, that was not a beautiful person when they're in their prime. Now, there might be some of you say, well, you haven't seen my old lady yet. Well, that's not true. Not true. Okay. I have never seen a person, when you look at those beautiful eyes, that I thought was not beautiful when they're in their prime. All right? And that's what you are in the spiritual body. All right? So, God said, he had the angels all gathered around and they were enjoying. He says, hey, got an idea. Now, please don't think this is sacrilegious. Let's just consider it, all right? Doesn't hurt you to think. God has a sense of humor. And he said, we're having a lot of fun here, but Satan has really messed it up, you know? So I either have to kill a third of my children or we've got to destroy this earth age. And every one of you is going to have to pass through it, born innocent of woman. But I'm going to make you in your own likeness. You got that? You have any problem with that? Anybody have a problem with it? Just think about it. Just think about it. I think it's beautiful. Because it even helps you. You'll understand. We're going to go to the book of Hebrews now. And we're going to reread part of the first chapter of the book of Hebrews. And just let it flow in your mind. Again, I would ask you, we're going to just take our time because this is going to be short and sweet today, this morning. But it is just something I felt it was time for. Because when we see, if you don't understand God's Word from the beginning, it makes the rest of it pretty hard to understand. So, let's take this first chapter and let's just enjoy it, okay? Chapter 1 of the book of Hebrews, and we'll start with verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. In other words, sometimes it might be the wind, and sometimes it might be a vision, and sometimes he just told them, get after it, you know. He said, I spoke to them. Verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. That's a hard one to kind of think about, isn't it? By whom he made the worlds, by Christ. What did God say to name Christ? Do you remember it? Matthew chapter 1, he said, call him Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. Is that a big deal? You know, is that, can we understand that? God with us. He was God with us. All right? Nothing complicated about that. Verse 3. Who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged out sins, that's at the cross, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, that office. Now, what does express, which is for emphasis, image mean? Just exactly alike. Is it any wonder Christ would say, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father? The image is the same. That isn't to say the full Godhead was present. And here we could get out into the Trinity wilderness if we weren't careful. You know what I mean? Nothing wrong with that. It's just different ways that people see God, the Son, and the Spirit. And they're pretty well the same. All right? But he said it there. I created him in my own express image. I don't have a problem with that, especially not after what we covered there in Genesis. Is that not what it said in the beginning? Of course it is. God said, hey, let's make them to look like we look. And he did. Okay. Verse 4, being made so much better than the angels, this is to say Christ, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Well, we can never compare ourselves to God. Remember when John fell down and started worshiping this angel, and the angel said, I think it was in chapter 19, he said, hey, get up from there. I'm just a fellow servant. I'm just like you are. It's just that I kind of lost my body and I'm up here in the spiritual body. Now, don't worship me, worship God. Well, naturally we don't compare to God or his Son, because God with us, Emmanuel. We never will, nor should we ever want to. All right? He's our Father. Being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee? Not one. Why? He formed us. He didn't begot us. He formed us. Or somebody else begot you. All right? Do you understand what I mean as far as the flesh is concerned, and it which is the offspring of the forming in the beginning? This day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Now really sharpen up for me. And again, furthermore, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. To say that the first begotten, that's Christ. Let the angels, he's a higher office, all right? And of the angels, now who is this? His children, those that laugh with joy. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits? He made his angels what? Who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? This is a quote from Psalms 104. He's just bringing it home to you. I feel that this addresses God's elect. It was obvious that even in Psalms 104, it makes it very clear they were chosen before the Tuhu, That is to say, before the earth became void and without form. And these ministers of fire stood against Satan. Common people. Common sons. It's just that they didn't go along with the turkey. Alright? They stood against him. God doesn't give away free rides. They earned it. Alright? Don't miss the thought, he makes his angel spirits. Do you know what a spirit is? You have a spirit. Every man has a spirit. Verse 8. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Verse 9. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Above who? Above thy fellows. The other beings. And thou, Lord, in the beginning, when? In the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hand. Verse 11. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And that's the way it is with both the earth and both with flesh man. We, if you don't believe you get old, just look at me right up here before you, all right? It just happens. And a lot of people say, though I love the Lord and He blesses me and everything, these people that say, getting old is a pleasure, be careful. Be real careful to someone that tells you that, because when you wake up in the morning, you know, it's this old thing has a few, you got to really stretch it out and work with it, you know, because it gets kinks in it and things of that nature, all right? That's almost, it's not a curse, but it almost is. It feels like one sometimes, you know, till you get it limbered up, you know, and then it goes pretty good, all right? But it gets old. That's what happens to flesh. Do you realize that a spiritual body never ages? It's forever. What happens to both the earth? He's not going to destroy this earth. In the second book of Peter, in chapter 3, it makes it very clear in the Greek that it is the rudiments or the evil influences, the elements, evil elements he destroys, not his children, all right? So let's pick it back up there. As an old garment, he changes. Just like you change a coat. When your flesh body dies, it's just going to be like me taking this jacket off and putting on my white robe. Boy. And just walking away, all right? I hope I have a white robe. Your righteous acts create the fabric that you wear in heaven. And that's why he says some will be naked as jaybirds. So I do hope I have a white robe. Okay, verse 12. And as a vesture or mantle shalt thou fold them up, thy years shall not fail. In other words, God's word is perfect. You can count on it. Every time the gate's supposed to be open, it opens. And every time it's supposed to close, it closes. God's word comes to pass exactly as it's written. Sometimes it just takes us a little while to catch up with what he's telling us, all right? Now listen carefully. We're going to close with two more verses. 13, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Careful now, verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits? He's talking about people on earth now. What did he make the angels? I ask you to remember now, back in the earlier, he makes them spirits, right? All right, you got that? Now, let's read that again. Are they not all ministering spirits set forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? What does it mean then? Who are the heirs of salvation? All that believe. All that believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior of this world. God just has some people he expects to minister. And they become ministering spirits, and they are ministers of fire. Now, we have some that you get yourself all pumped up, and you'll say, yeah, I'm going to do it. I can do it. You want me to tell you? You can't. if that's your frame of mind, forget it, chuck it. Just keep on chopping cotton. You'll be a lot better off, okay? But say, myself and my Father can do it. If my Father blesses me, I can cut it. I can get it done. My Father makes me able when I'm even my weakest. Then I'm at my strongest because I turn it over to Him and He's a can-do Father. Right? So there you have it. How are we made? Where were we made? Our Father loved us. He said to the angels, let's make ourselves in the flesh. I'm going to be Emmanuel. And you're going to, all of them are going to be spirits, and some of them will believe and inherit the kingdom of heaven. Beloved, that's some of your destinies that you know, and that you go deeper into your Father's thought and word and realize who you are, that you look just like you did then. Now, there are exceptions. You must remember, we live in a polluted world. There are injuries at birth. That's flesh then, all right? But I have never, never seen an ugly person in their prime. Just doesn't work. We're all different. And that's what makes it so wonderful. That boy, I'm going to tell you what. If this whole world, if every one of you looked exactly like I do, I'd run. I'd get out of this place. I just take it from me, and this is not true confession time. It'd be awful, okay? It takes the whole wheel and all the spokes, right? For the ministers of fire to get the job done. I don't care who you are. Your Father loves you. We don't serve a wicked God. God loves His children. There are some people that would say, they try to hold you to a certain, maybe, belief. If you don't come into this house every time the doors are open and put your little shekels in the box, you're going to burn. Right? You're going to hell. And children just shake, you know. God, I'm afraid of Him. That just breaks my heart when I hear a young person say they're afraid of God. Or do we revere Him, fear Him? Is the awesomeness of it? Yes. But the tenderness of His wing outstretched as it comes over your life to cradle you, to guide you, to handle it when you can't. And there are times we can't, friend. Believe me, there is. And you just have to take one step back and say, God, I'll follow You. All right? You show me. I guarantee you He'll do it if your heart is right and you're pulling that plow. So, Jesus spoke in parables. And He was asked in the 13th chapter of Matthew. He was asked, Jesus, why do you talk in parables? They don't understand what you're saying. He said, it's not meant that all should understand. And as we grow and as we mature in the Word, it's important that you know that you're somebody, that you're a child of God. So act like it. Act like you're a child of God. And know that you're real special to Him, that He's counting on you. And it may be just for a smile at someone. No one has to be a blabbermouth like I am all the time, okay? He didn't choose everybody to be a blabbermouth all the time. It may be just a one-on-one thing. Every gift has its gift, right? But I may blabber, but it's His gift of teaching that comes through pretty good, all right? Sometimes, I guess. But anyway, you are His child, and He loves you a great deal. So pray about it, and look at yourself. Don't take pride in it, okay? And puff yourself up. But know that your Father loves you a great deal. That He has a purpose for you. God created all the children, and you know what He said? I like it. I like it a lot. And He created them for His pleasure. So, in this generation, there are untold, you are one in 10,000, and you can put Satan to flight. I mean that. You are one in 10,000. Because only one in 10,000 really enjoys studying God's Word in depth. Therefore, you have a responsibility. And that's to do what it is the Father has chosen you for with your people. To lead them, to guide them, to tell them about His love. When the opportunity prevails, don't become a religious fanatic, all right? Then you lose your credibility, and you know what happens when you go down the street? There goes that nut again, you know? Can't work like that, okay? You got to be smooth and wiser than the serpent, but as peaceful as the dove. Well, I've been taught all my life, when you're through, sit down and shut up, all right? And I'm through with that subject, but I wanted to share it with you. Simple? Yes, very simple. Important? Yes, very important. Because you will find that that little key will unlock many scriptures for you in understanding what our Father is talking about and was talking about.